Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology, speaking to you on Blog Talk Radio. We are three astrologers who get together for this little talk, and we look at what's going on in the sky and how that's reflected in life and society around us. And we also take calls from listeners. And this is Mark Waltz speaking from New York City, the island of Manhattan, over on the banks of the Hudson River. And over on the other side of the island, on the banks of the East River, is
Ann Ortley, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk, and handsome, true to form, just arrived. He's going to ride shotgun with me on the show, hopefully not stepping on the phone.
How tall is handsome?
Handsome is, I don't know, stem to stern, he's probably 20 inches long. It's more his personality. He is an Aries cat. I mean, I don't have his chart, but every time anything's in Aries, he's like out of control. And right now we have a lot of planets in Aries, so he's been really rocking. And he's a fire guy. You know, whenever, whoops, here, you just heard me, him throw the Rolodex on the floor. Whenever, because he's going to rub his face on it until something hits the ground. Whenever I have anybody with fire over, you know, to the house, he's like all over them. And my friend Cecilia, when she comes, he sleeps with her, you know, because she'll, you know, she lives upstate with her honey. And he'll put his paws on her boobs. And I'll be like, you know what he's doing. He knows what he's doing, right? And she's like, I said, have you told Darren about this? You know, that he's you're getting hit on by a cat when you come to New York, who sleeps with you and curls up and puts his paws on your boobs. He's totally conscious, I swear to God. He's, you know, he's got a whole agenda, that handsome does. But anyway, yeah, he's sitting here riding shotgun because I just got in from dinner. So he's like, okay, Mom, you know, time for food, which I fed him, but it doesn't count. There's Heather.
Right. And,
there's Heather.
And that is our third
astrologer.
Three.
Yep, this
Heather.
Is Heather Roland Robbins, speaking again from Minnesota after a week in Mexico.
How was your vacation?
Yeah.
It was hard to come back.
Hard to come
it
back.
It was also literally hard to come back because we got bumped off our plane at the last minute, but they put us up for another night in Mexico. So it took us a while.
Nice.
After 10 hours in an airport. And that was nice of them.
Oh, the 10 hours in an airport part wasn't good. But
the extra night was great.
Extra night was great.
And a lot of time in the Xiankan Reservation, about 3 hours south of Cancun, in the middle of the jungle, was beautiful. And on the beach there was beautiful. Some parts of the trip were just amazing, including a temple to the moon where they kept and a circular bowl on top that they used to fill with water, and they would study the stars by looking at the reflection in the water. They had a flat grid to look at what they were seeing in the stars, and they also wouldn't kill their neck looking up in the sky. It was really fascinating.
Wow.
And beneath that were two portals that when the sun came through at the equinox, so it came through one window and pointed to one part of the temple, then it was the, you know, spring, summer time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the light hit to the other side and showed through the other side of the temple, it became winter. So they marked the two seasons, you know, according to the equinox, marked there. It was really fascinating.
Very cool. Wow.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
Did you get to swim and have a wonderful time and play with your honey?
I did. First time in 12 years. And I have to say, that was lovely.
Yeah.
Good.
Because Neptune is in conjunct my Mercury. First, I drowned my phone the week before I left. And the first day there, I'm standing there, and a wave, I'm holding my camera, and a wave took my camera out. So,
wow.
Yeah, Mercury-Neptune, tough aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Water damage to all my equipment. It's been pretty funny.
Wow.
Wow.
How are you two this week?
Good. No complaints. Good. I'm healthy and I'm happy.
Wonderful.
Mark, how are you?
Yeah, same deal.
Yeah.
I had a sore throat last week. Not too bad, but it was bothersome.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed that last week there was that Sun-Venus Uranus exact conjunction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened in my house of partnership, and so my partner came back and is giving notice at work and decided to go off on and become an independent contractor. And I looked at that aspect and I wonder what's going to happen in our lives. Oh, coming back from
vacation,
changed Ren's approach towards work.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So he's going to do independent contracting? That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to stay where you are or move somewhere else? Huh?
I don't know. I think we're staying here for now.
Okay, cool.
But I'll wait till it gets off my moon before I tell you for sure.
It's always fun when these transits come and you're like, oh, that's not what I, or,
I,
you know, you have an anticipation of it. Huh?
No, it keeps astrologers guessing, I think.
Yeah, well, it is, you know, because, I mean, people go, well, you know, you don't know. And I'm like, no, you never know how the damn thing is going to turn out. I got all excited because I had Mars on my moon, right? And I'm like, ooh, this could be a guy. And I stepped on a piece of glass, you know, and I'm like,
ow.
Well, that's in my foot, you know, and I'm like, well, yeah, it's not, I mean, it is Mars, Moon, Pisces, but, you know, not probably what I was really anticipating. So you never know. And I always, like, I'm always like, the symbolism is right. The astrologer might be wrong. You know, we may get it wrong because we can. You know, we're looking at, you know, all the symbols that are there that describe everything in the sky. So that's cool. New exciting stuff.
We live it out. Quite literally, whether we mean to or not.
Yes.
You know, I remember once seeing an aspect to my chart that said, if you look it up in the books, it will change how you see the world and how the world sees you. Well, my eye prescription suddenly switched, and my good eye became my weak eye, and all my clothes were stolen from the laundromat. So it was how I thought.
All your clothes were stolen from the laundromat?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Okay, you had to go totally get all new clothes. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was, I could laugh about it afterwards, but it was such a literal example of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I had one where I was doing, we were working on a, and it was a little group that was kind of studying planetary pictures, and the picture was 1,000 points of light, you know. So the astrologer said to me, so like last weekend, thousands of points of light, what happened? And I said, I went to Christmas tree store and I bought a year's worth of candles. So it was very literal, you know, I bought the little tea lamps and then the big guys and, you know, you go and you kind of stock up, you know, once a year. I mean, I'm a stocker-upperer and it was like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool, right there in the chart. So, but she was like, I'm curious how this manifested. So, it is fascinating.
I remember two people having a very similar aspect. And again, if I looked it up in the textbooks back many years ago, it said you will meet with strong and forceful personalities. Resources will be shared, but this will come naturally. One lady went off to a charity ball, danced all night with big political figures, gave away money, had a wonderful evening. The other one got into a fight with her friend at a party, stormed out of the room, and was mugged. Guys knocked her down, took her purse, and ran off. And, you know, they both fit the definition.
They both fit the definition, yeah.
Right.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, but it's, again, it's how do you work with the aspects. And sometimes, you know, you're 1,000 points of light. That's a great way of manifesting.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know. I just went to Christmas tree store. Because I'm not like a huge planetary picture person.
No.
Although they work. It's like, oh, that's like a whole other level. But it was like we were doing a study group on them. So it was like, well, what'd you do? And I'm like, well, I went to Christmas tree store. Thousands of lights. So it's kind of cool. At any rate, so this week's a quiet week. Mark and I were talking before you dropped in that that you know there's not a lot of aspects up there. Just we're ending, we're releasing, we're letting go because the finger of God's perfected, and now we're free to move to a new direction.
And it is, you know, it's as loose as you can get, considering that Venus and Mars and the Sun are all conjunct in Aries.
Right.
So. It's nothing perfecting, but a lot happening.
Right.
And we're still feeling, you know, there's some separating squares of, you know, that Jupiter-Neptune into Jupiter-Mercury separating square, and Pluto to Sun and Venus and Mars are still in orbit separating.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot of emotional processing on events that have happened recently.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, you know, when I see that when we've got a little break in the impending aspect, but we're still under these intensities,
yes,
is that, you know, now we get a chance to feel it all.
Mm-hmm.
So we may be churning over with a fair amount of emotional fire, you know. Got to watch the shoulda, woulda, couldas.
Mm-hmm.
Got to watch the reactions.
Got to watch the trash talking yourself and saying, oh, you know, no, you know, you, where you are, you did what you did. Yeah.
And but let the feelings flow,
right,
and look and direct it towards possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the time to go, I wonder what could happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The curiosity, being curious about, well, that's interesting. How's it going to turn out? What's going to happen? So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We do have the Venus-Mars conjunction coming up.
And that is...
That's happening in 19 Aries.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And I always like to think of that conjunction as Venus is our power of attraction,
mm-hmm,
and Mars is the power of will, the willpower. Mm-hmm. And both of them are meant to bring us stuff. One way we're attracting it, one way we're grabbing it. Either way, it's ways that we interact with the world and bring things to ourselves, and by two different means. But when they conjunct, they're setting up the next cycle,
right,
and they're both out there to help us to interact with the world, and this time they're meeting in Aries, and next time they actually, in 2 years, they meet in Aries again, but it's at one Aries.
Yeah, the next year they meet on February 22nd at 1:41 Aries. This week is 1957.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so there's going to be an Aries energy. That gives Mars the upper hand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Mars will be like the big brother and Venus like the little sister.
Mm-hmm. Venus and Aries is one hell of a little sister, though.
Well, yeah.
She kicks butt in Aries. You know, there's a lot of fierce female energy out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing that people, you know, they want to be in love or they don't want to be. It's very emotionally ups and downs and push and pull in relationship. And I want passion. I want individuation. I'm getting clients with, you know, I got 4 breakup calls in this last, since I've been back, which has only been 24 hours. And, you know, that people have just like, oh, my God, you know, they broke up. They took what I said. They was wrong, and they stormed out. I go, so there's a little low on impulse control and relationship issues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, and it, on a good day, it's just kind of nice camaraderie. Venus and Mars together can just make it easy to work together. But neither one is in a cooperative sign. They're much more, so it can mean lots of goodwill and still wanting to individuate rather than cooperate.
Mm-hmm. And to know that
definitely.
You can individuate and still get what you want. I mean, that's, you know, we have this whole thing. I had somebody here the other day, and she was like, well, you know, if I do that, my father won't like it. And I'm like, well, but, you know, it's your life, you know. And I think that's part of what this energy is about is, well, it's your life. What are you doing with it? And Venus and Mars in a chart, when a person has it natally, very often they're very self-sufficient in relationships. You know, they don't. Mars and Venus, when they're by themselves, like, seek out relationship. But when they're joined in someone's chart, the person's kind of like, take it or leave it. You know, I can do it or not. I'm okay. I'm in. I'm out. Because they're satisfied. They're with each other. And so the person tends to be fairly self-satisfied in their own life because they don't need to hunt for the companionship. So it's an interesting placement when they're going in the sky like this after all this evolutionary energy we've had saying, okay, evolve, evolve, and everybody's going to go, well, I'm not doing that anymore, you know, because it's got a very self-sufficient quality to it. I don't want to.
I don't want to,
you know. So when you hear yourself saying, I don't want to, just say everything or just part of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Mark was saying something before we started about them joining. So I wanted to make sure we included that. Remember what that was, Mark?
No.
No.
What was it?
I don't know. It was really profound, but I'm having a big Neptune transit, and then that made me look up how long it ran, and then the show started. So it was like, remember to say
right.
it. Well, if it comes to you,
it'll come around.
It'll come around again. Kind of like one of those things. But yeah, there's no aspects this week except some stuff with Neptune on Friday and Saturday. Hard aspects, semi-squares, which is kind of, I'm ready to do the dream, but I don't really see it clearly, right? So there's a lot of not seeing it energy here as we get towards the end of the week. But I am finding people are really, I want to go, I want to conquer the world. So, and we have void moons every other day, which, of course, is to allow you to process emotionally what you're going through. There was a void moon today. There'll be one on Wednesday, and then there'll be one on Friday afternoon.
And that can make it feel like it's a stop-go, stop-go, stop-go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you know, if you feel that, you know, it's stop and then process, stop and finish, stop and complete, and then go on to the next one. So it's just because it's Aries, nothing's going to take too long. So one day on, one day processing, one day on, one day processing, and catching up.
Right, all right, yeah. Yeah, no, it was definitely pretty, pretty wild stuff. So all good, all fun.
Good.
But
I'm a little worried about, you know, them sending fighter pilots over to Korea again.
Mm-hmm.
This has stayed since the lineup headed into Aries. The Korean experience, which is, points out that it felt like a lot of old, arguments you've had with your past.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, arguments that you had with people in the past, family members, you know, something that ticked you off years ago, can come back and just like, you know, what is this bothering me again for?
I know.
But I know, it comes around and around. And
how to handle that.
Adding fuel to that fire didn't help last time, probably won't help this time.
Mm-hmm.
How do we take a more creative approach?
Right. But it also is the Saturn return of that time, 1950s,
mm-hmm.
you know. So mm-hmm. it is makes sense that Korea would be hot. And, of course, it's also for those of you who aren't that old, it's back to 19, and you're repeating that story, too. You know what was going on then. So in my case, there's a whole bunch of family drama going on. That's when my mom died. And so, you know, a lot of that running in the tribal vein. So I was this weekend was kind of like, wah, 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 wah. And then I was like, I thought I handled all this, you know. I spent a lot of money on therapy on this, you know. Why am I still going through it? And it is. It digs it out. And you got to look at it again and go, okay, let's dig this out and pay attention because it's part of
our
process.
Next around the circle.
Yeah, It's like an onion, you know. You think you've handled it, and then it comes back. And I'll say that to clients. They'll go, I already handled this. I know, but it's back again, you know. So be gentle with yourself because this is also with the all that Aries, this can be a lot of negative self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people can be a little more crabby with themselves than perhaps they should.
How are you feeling this?
Well, not so strongly right around me right now.
That's nice.
Yeah,
and so maybe
nice.
You're feeling it in a more positive way.
Yeah. I kind of.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't got me worked up anyway.
That's wonderful.
So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And you, Heather, have you been worked up with it?
I'm having emotional ups and downs, but it's more I've been having some great emotional ups with it. I had more energy to go exploring with the Aries energy sitting around in my house, my seventh house, and dancing on my chart.
Mm-hmm.
I've had more because it's trining into my Jupiter, and I've had positive attitude even when things go a little nutty around me.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been enjoying some of this energy, but I have definitely been feeling it. You know, when my temper goes, it's a little short flash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it's gone.
Right.
And so I'm noticing that it's more that I'm seeing this flare up around me and causing damage than I'm experiencing it myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm grateful for that trine from Jupiter
right.
to make it, to bring out some of the more positive sides at
yeah.
the moment.
Right, right, right. Cool. So on that note, I guess
have we have anybody on?
We have callers. We have callers. So if you've called recently, we're going to ask you not to talk long, but obviously everybody's having big fire stuff, so if you feel you have to share, no worries. Okay, here we go. Hello, 416. You're on the air. Can you hear me?
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. I was on the air a few weeks ago at the very, very, very end. So
okay, no worries. No worries.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just like
cool.
if we talked to you last week, you know.
What's your birth information?
1978, June 6th. And
what's your question? And what time?
1:45 in the afternoon.
I'm sorry, what was the date again?
June 6, 1978, 1:45
okay.
p.m. And in Hungary. And
mm-hmm.
The city name is K-E-C-S-K-E-M-E-T.
And what's your question tonight?
It would be about a personal relationship
mm-hmm.
that I am that I have, and I'd like to have it reconciled.
Mm-hmm.
He is the
what's
love of my life.
Specific question.
Huh?
He's the love of your life, and when did you have a disagreement?
We have just had a break, and we reconnected, and. We haven't had the conversation yet. I'm hoping to do it as soon as possible. I'd just like to know how I can proceed with it or what I can do or, you know, what, if there's
well,
anything you can tell me about.
Well, certainly a good time with the sun just entered your seventh house of partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Venus and Mars are there as well. They're moving into a nice trine with your Mars and Saturn, but they're still squaring your Venus. So there's the next couple of days is still going to stay a little feisty. I would wait until Mars gets past that 18 degrees, past the square to your Venus. And you, it might
when
even take, I don't see it necessarily having to take 6 months, but it, you know, I think you'll know more in 6 months when your progressed moon leaves Virgo and goes into Libra.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So what about in the meantime? What would be a good, I'd like to be able to, you know, have us together.
Work on. Yeah. I think you need, there's a lot of listening that has to go on. And I don't think the two of you are particularly good at really hearing each other.
Yeah. We haven't
and
had much
communication. And it feels like you both want to be understood so badly by the other one that neither one of you is really listening.
Okay.
And it may be important for you to listen first and say,
okay.
I really want to hear you, and I want to hear everything you have to say.
Okay.
And I will then think about it. I also want you to hear everything that I have to say, and I want you to think about it. And then we'll comment on each other. But let's just really hear each other out and sleep on it.
Okay.
It might be helpful to write it down, too, because your
mm-hmm.
chart grounds better if you write it, and both
yeah.
of you write it and exchange it, because your progressed moon right now is squaring your moon in Gemini, so there's a lot of things to say. So I would say, okay, let's focus on the three things that, or the four things that I really feel are important for me to say to you. And kind of
mm-hmm.
narrow the scope, because right now you're having Pluto square Pluto, so there's this and it's opposite your Jupiter, so there's this desire to control the outcome, and the Pluto opposite the Jupiter, often the best path, like Heather said, is silence, where you
mm-hmm.
just kind of listen and you go, okay, tell me again. And with the yeah. moon in Virgo, you're going to progress moon in Virgo right now, you're going to feel a little thin-skinned. So no defending yourself, and maybe even doing a talking stick, which sounds a little weird, but like have a ball, and if you're holding the ball, you talk, and then give the ball to him, and he talks. And then when he's done, mm-hmm. he gives you the ball back. So that there's a real conscious physical exchange as you're talking the energy back and forth with each other. Because so often we don't hear each other. And then secondly, because of the Neptune you got going on in your third house of communication, saying back to him, you know, what I heard you say was this. Is that what you meant? Because there's a, you know, Neptune's opposite your sun. So sometimes, you know, you hear them, but you hear them through the filter of, you hear that through the filter rather than through the words themselves. And there's just mm-hmm. a lot of fire in the air right now. So that's,
yeah,
that's it. Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, you have a tendency to, you know, work a lot of the Mars energy, and just, you know, when things are tough, you feel they are supposed to be tough, but not necessarily, and you respond just as easily when things are not tough, and it's more, are you taking care of what you need to do, then that's the tough part, or are you taking care of the relationship and how you're relating to the other person? And that's the part that brings out another part of you that is very caring. But you'll tend to protect that caring part if you suspect you could be hurt. So, mm-hmm. you know, and that's when you really pull into the I have to do what I have to do thing.
Right.
And it's a lot of it is just to protect yourself from being hurt, because, well, I won't be hurt if I don't give them a chance to hurt me.
Yeah.
So be a little careful of that mechanism and reach out a little more and allow yourself to be a little more vulnerable in the relationship.
Okay.
And don't set up too much of a wall to begin with.
And remember, you're about to start a new 12-year cycle, okay, around relationships. So a lot of times when you're at that turning point, and that'll be when Jupiter comes to your sun and your moon in Gemini, when you're at that turning point, there's a real opportunity to learn. So just be really gentle with yourself and say, okay, you know, this is my practice, and, you know, I really care about this person and I'd like it to work, but I also recognize the universe is asking me to evolve now and to start a new 12-year cycle. So he may be training ground, and he may mm-hmm. be the next 12 years. So, you know, give it time and space till we get to the beginning of July when Jupiter gets into Cancer. And as he goes over your sun and your moon and your Mercury planet, your Gemini planets, kind of reflect on, you know, the mixed messages you got as a child around relationships, and then what your vision is of relationship now. That's the key. What's your vision as opposed to what you were told or what you think you should do? And just kind of, it's hard with a chart like yours to sit quietly because it's so relationship driven with the Libra rising. But if you sit quietly and say, well, you know, I was told this was what relationship is, but is that what really makes me happy? You know, it's sitting in that space, and that's the most important space for you with this time. Remember, he's a reflection of what you're learning about. That's all he is. He's a reflection of you. So if we understand him that way, we go, okay, he's my reflection. How do I work with him? You know.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good luck on all of this.
But you got good aspects, so don't give up. Just kind of quiet and silent.
And you progress, Sun and Jupiter are conjunct your Venus, so I think you're learning tremendously here.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, so good luck with it.
Thank you.
There.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For calling in.
You're welcome. Hi.
Okay.
All right,
and
so
that
the British
us
lady
to
said 60
the
seconds.
End.
Yeah.
All right. So this is Mark Waltz signing off from New York.
And Ann Ortley signing off from New York.
And Heather Rowan Robbins signing off from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Enjoy
and
your spring.
You guys,
and Mark,
still let snow out there?
Yeah.
We still do have some on the ground.
Snow on the ground.
Okay.
Yeah,
back from Mexico to snow on the ground.
Well, yeah, I know.
So depressing.
Wasn't too bad.
Right. Now, are you doing anything this week, Heather, you want to let people know about?
I have a teaching a class tomorrow night, my living astrology class. drop-in chart clinic, bring your chart, and we'll talk. And mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to a workshop with Stephen Forrest this weekend here at
Very cool. And I, Mark and I teach on Tuesdays at the Open Center. Well, actually, at the Church of the Transfiguration, access through the Open Center. So we'll be there tomorrow night from 7 to 8.
Being transfigured.
Okay.
Yeah. So take care,
yes.
everybody.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Good.